Welcome to lunchtime in the Cliff House Hotel in Ireland, and I'm sitting here with Sean Phillips, and an earlier audio boo has referred to me sitting nervously on the terrace waiting for this person I've never met to arrive, and she's actually arrived, and I'm now going to be interviewed by her, so I'm just going to put the audio down between us, and she's in the driving seat, and we'll just see what happens.
I think it makes a change to me to be in the driving seat. okay, on your Twitter bio, it's quite long. It says writer, podcaster, storyteller, reputation builder, etc., etc. Can you tell me bits of what those mean?
Like, yeah, which would you like me to start with?
Start with writer. What do you write? What is it that you do in that respect?
What do I write? Right. Well, I write in no particular order. I write poetry. I write for businesses in the sense that I write copyright websites.
Content.
Yeah, but if you take a website that it has to have, you know, all the words that go on a website.
Yeah.
So I write those. I write blog posts. I have in my time over the years written just about a wide range of things. The most peculiar thing I ever wrote, I wrote for a wonderful client, but at the time it was the first thing they ever asked me to write. They asked me to write a, what do you call it, a copyright application, what's the thing you write when you want to get a protection in a country from somebody copying your design?
It'll just be copyright.
Okay, we'll call it a copyright application for China, right? So this Irish company that was doing manufacturing of a product in China, bringing the product back into other places in the world, right, needed to submit it's not copyright. It's whatever the word is. Anyway, they're basically a patent application. Sorry,
right,
a
yeah.
patent application for China.
Okay.
And so I did that. I'd never written one before, and I had done, you know, I'd done all sorts of academic writing because I used to be an academic, so I know about how to write academic stuff. I had done all sorts of writing in business, including teaching people how to write for business in the UK. I've written writing standards for a very large organisation in the UK. The standards that will be used to write for their business. So I'd written policies, I'd written procedures, I'd written political propaganda in my time. You know, I basically thought I had written just about anything that a business could want, marketing stuff and advertising stuff and newsletters and, you know, cold calling letters and warm-up letters and all that kind of stuff. I'd done all that, and this man sat across the table from me and he said, okay, what I want you to do, please, for me as a job, and we hardly knew each other at all, was I want you to write me the patent application from China, and I nearly fell off the seat.
How did you go about doing it then?
Well, yeah, what did I do? Well, first of all, I said, what are we talking about? Can you show me our previous patent application for China, and what kind of a patent is it? And then I discovered that actually all that was needed was a single page of text, right? That the document that would go to the Chinese civil servant would consist of two pages. On the right-hand page, it would be photographs and designs of the actual... It was under a thing called innovative use of new... of existing technology. There are different kind of patents. I learned all this. I didn't know anything about patent stuff before. And basically, I interviewed my client about, look, what's different about what you're doing with this thing? Why does it deserve a patent at all? You're claiming an innovative use of existing technology. What you're doing is you're basically branding an one of these little Apple objects. What do you call them? Little things that you use to play music with them.
iPod.
An iPod, right? Yep. You're branding a type of iPod, right? And you're embedding audio inside it. in a way that it can't be removed or altered or anything. And you're basically, selling this to a client. And what's innovative about that? And he explained it, how they were doing it, their method. And I basically just wrote down
what he said.
But I had to be succinct, and it was easier. You know, that was the part of the skill, was the craft of sculpting out the words. Because my style would be to write down a longhand version, basically, of it. And then, first of all, the easy thing is you take out all the ands and the thes, and you basically make your sentences really short. But essentially, you don't know if it's going to work, and it did work. And subsequently, I then, the next job for them was to write the words for their new website. So I wrote all the words, and that involves a process of dialogue with the company. So am I going on too long about this one particular client?
No, right?
Okay, so you go on and about this. If you're going to, they had products and services, if you like, to write about. So that was the easy part, in a sense. You kind of just, but you have to write it. My style is that I can't stand, cliches.
Okay.
I can't stand stuff that, a company that says, we produce high-quality audio, right?
Yeah.
And I say to myself, look, what makes your audio high-quality anyway? Any old fool can say that it's high-quality. What does quality mean to you, right? So I won't write stuff that simply say, this is we provide a high-quality service.
Mm.
I won't do that for a company. I'm just not...
No, that makes sense.
I don't hire myself out to write stuff that sounds like anybody else.
Anybody else could write.
So I try to use concrete descriptors that the person, when they read it, say, this is real. It may not be what I want, but at least it is fresh, clear, and it has a bit of character, but it's accurate, and no bullshit.
Yeah.
No hype, no bullshit. So that's the kind of writer I am when it came to... Because I think, we live in a world where there are just too many words.
Yeah.
Too many words fighting for attention.
Too much hype as well, I think, these days. Okay, next one. Well, probably won't get through them
God,
all, but...
God, we never get them all, right?
No.
Should I speak faster, or should I speak less?
Well, we have got Storyteller in there, and I don't think we need to cover that, because you obviously are a storyteller. But podcaster, I'm presuming you mean something like Audioboo, which you use a lot of, and I see you a lot of Audioboos. How many do you think you've done?
I think I've done 1,700.
You're joking.
I mean, they'll have to forgive me, but I think I maybe have the largest individual... I may be the largest individual podcaster on Audioboo. Now, I'd like... If that's wrong, I'd like to find the person who's done more. But I'm a real...
Because you Audioboo lots of things, like when you're walking or, just chatting to people, maybe like we are today, that type of thing, don't you?
I've done three already this morning. Right? So if you take that as being... I've done a conversation with my daughter in the car, during which she discussed the criteria she'd used to select a childminder.
Okay. Well, that was important.
Well, it's...
Yeah.
The thing I have is that I got a big thing about kids. I have three, and a young one is 7, and the point is, how do children think? I don't think adults pay enough attention to how children actually think.
Okay.
And to work out how children's minds work, you have to listen. So I sit in the car and I ask her a question like, what did you do yesterday? And, what did you think of, I told her, you've been to see two people who might be childminding you. And he used an awful lot of active listening. So I just paraphrase back to the person what she does. And she adds something, and I say, so why did you like the first one better than the second one? And I'm thinking to myself, loads of people have to pick a childminder for their child.
Yeah, and you've got to be very careful.
So how does a child think about... So to me, that I thought that some people would be interested in that.
Yeah.
So I did that this morning.
Very good.
Then I drove my car down here. And I did one about the hotel that I'm coming to. I do lots of journeys. This was the journey to the Cliff House Hotel, so I remembered that experience, and I'd never audiobooked about it before.
There you go.
So I then did one here on the terrace, which was waiting for your arrival and what that was like.
So is it a bit like a memory thing as well, to keep memories of journeys or chats with your daughter and chats with people?
Yes, definitely. Now, the most influential thing that I had in that respect was that Mark Rock, the guy who founded Audioboo, set it up when asked to explain why did you do it. Apart from the fact that he had an opportunity at a certain point, he said my mother, basically his mother died and he had no audio, he had no sound of his mother who was now dead. And that hit me like a brick.
Wow,
right?
Yeah.
And I thought, no better reason for setting up a business than because, you know, an audio business, which let people like you, me, or anyone, and make it as simple as possible to record. I have no audio of my father.
No, and I wouldn't either. But I can now get an audio of my mum, which made me think I'm going to do that.
My mother's 86. Yeah. How old is your mother? Sorry, I'm not interviewing you. 80, you don't have.
She's 82 in 2 days' time.
And the point is, look, we all know this. We don't know how long any of us are going to live, right?
No,
I might not be here tomorrow, right? So it's as simple as that. So
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, I did a funny thing. I was just listening to it. Somebody sent me back a comment about it yesterday. They listened to it. I did an audio the other day of my mother, who's 86, and my daughter, who's 7, one interviewing the other. I asked my daughter to interview my mother.
That's a brilliant idea.
I asked her to ask her 4 questions, and I said, look, if you ask my mother 4 questions, I'll do something for you. Right? I had to bribe her. Right?
Huh? As you have to.
So, you know, I do audio like... But actually, that there is a business side to me, which, you know, is the reality is I come to this hotel, I have an interest in hotels, right? I've done a number of audios about hotels. You know, I would like to have a really good hotel as a client, right? I don't have one as a client now, right? But I'm also experimenting through using audio on how you could use audio to build the reputation of a hotel.
Okay, yeah.
Or expand it,
yeah.
Or modify it, or enrich it.
Yeah.
So I am, you know, I'm combining, you know, a very personal... I work very personally in the sense that I use my own previous experience of this place, which I talked about in the audio, about this is the place where I got the best scone I ever got in my life. But I also gave the first impressions of arriving at a hotel.
Yeah.
Because I passionately believe that we're only at the beginning of companies appreciating how they could get their message, to use their language, out there in a way that the modern type of person who is very curious, very suspicious, you know, we're all, I think, curious increasingly through mass education. We get more curious, less kowtowing to authority. We have our own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We're curious about what this hotel is like, who's really running it, who's the boss actually here. You know, is the general manager really the boss? Or is it the deputy general manager who really pulls the string? You know, we love that, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Being nosy.
Yeah, being nosy. Absolutely.
What I do like about here is that if you stay here, when you get into your room, they've got a video of Adrian, the general manager, showing you around the hotel and places to see, places to, you know, what to do and things like that, which is great because, you know, when you... stay in a hotel, you won't necessarily know everything that's going on just from the booklet that you get.
If I had my way, I'd get them to do a video of the person who cleans the bedrooms.
Yeah.
And I'd get them to do a short video of the person cleaning the bedrooms saying, come on, I'll show you how I clean the room.
Well, do you know what? I think he's doing that because he wanted to do...
He's a sharp cookie.
He talked to me about doing a blog, a video blog, and interviewing all the staff in their jobs. So I think that's on the cards.
You know, when you think about it, you know, you have such a great opportunity in a place like this. You can start off because, you know, the traditional way of thinking is somebody interviews them, right? But then you can move on later on in the development of the, you know, because we got to produce content that will keep this hotel engaging, you know, indefinitely. Yeah. No, you can't do it all in one. So you basically give the cleaner a video camera of their own.
Yeah.
And let them loose.
Yeah.
Without you standing beside them, right? And you can't give that a job to somebody who'd be terrified to do it, and too much. You have to create a culture within the organization,
yeah,
where people will feel actually safe showing potential customers,
yeah,
what they do.
I think it's a brilliant idea, but you can do it the same, probably easier without the video, and use audio.
Why, and especially the thing about audio, you're right to pull me back to audio boo, because it's so, the thing about it is it's so bloody simple.
Yeah.
You know, it is.
Did you just use it, like, you just switched on your phone then?
It is now running. I am now recording this conversation with you on audio boo.
And is right? it, do you go to an audio boo app, or do you just use your recorder?
No, I use, almost all the time, but not all the time, I use the Audioboo app, right?
Okay.
Which piggybacks on the back of the, I use an iPhone, the iPhone, you know, audio facility, you know, the memo app on the iPhone.
So if I was to use it on mine and I don't have an Audioboo app, could I just record record and then upload it to Audioboo?
Yes. It's very easy. Now, because I don't do it all the time, I forget exactly how you do it, but it is as simple as you can email an MP3 file off your phone, okay, which it has recorded. You can email that to your, when you sign up to Audioboo, right, you email it to your own account there, and when it's up there, you can add tags to it.
Yeah.
And you can add, now you can add a mini blog post at the end of the audio.
Okay.
So that what the user gets, or the person who listens to the audio, gets a visual experience of commentary.
Yeah.
Like I recorded this on a wet Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, when I was feeling, you know, tired and hungover, etc. You know, or anything you want to say be interesting.
But can you edit it as well?
You can, but you have to do that. If we're going to be technical about this, you have to do the editing outside the Audioboo app.
Okay.
You can take an MP3 file, record it anywhere. You could, if you're good at audio, you put it through a thing called Audacity, for example, which is a very high-powered editing audio tool. You could even, within Audacity, add a piece of, you know, to make it really sound professional, you add a piece of introductory music, your theme, if you like. You top and tail it, add all the, you know, a voiceover stuff. There are very many different levels. And if you, you know, I specialize in raw, crude stuff, right?
Yeah.
I don't take my MP3 files and tart them up. If I knew more about audio engineering, right?
Mm.
I would actually do that sometimes. You know?
Yes, I guess it's only now and then you'd need to, because, you know, the audio booths I've certainly listened that you've done are very, you know, they're just chatting, they're people chatting, and that, I think that's the best way to get information from people most of the time, is just to chat anyway.
Yeah.
And you get it in their own words, you know, especially if you want to do an interview, you're getting somebody's own words, rather than, you know, transcribing it afterwards and you put in your bits and bobs in and changing it slightly.
I've done lots of formal interviewing with people in the past, you know, a long time ago. I've trained people on how to interview people, because I used to be a management consultant who did... I've trained people on most of the soft skills.
Okay.
I've trained trainers on the soft skills, so I kind of had to immerse myself into the question of really how can you interview somebody effectively. Mm-hmm. And I've been an operational manager, having to select people for work and having to discipline them and having to do appraisal interviews and having to basically, you know,
so lots of like human
retire people, you know, all the stuff you do as bug, you know, as normal people work.
Yeah.
So I got a bit of advantage in the background ever before I ever came across audio or thought about doing audio.
When did you first use Audioboo?
A guy sent me a tweet out of the blue. And to be truthful, I can't remember who it was.